Good morning, Active Church. How y'all doing? I don't believe you, 950. I said, how you guys doing? You good? All right, cool. I wake you guys up. We still have coffee, even though we're distancing. There's still coffee for you. Aren't you glad that we still have coffee? People air high-fiving out front. Aren't you glad for our serve team? Can we make some noise for our team that makes church happen every single week? Well, hey, if I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Adam Magana. I'm the lead pastor of Active Church, and I want to just say thank you so much for joining us this morning in church with those of us in the building. Can we make some noise for everyone joining us online? Thank you so much for joining us online. We love you. As Josh said, you're probably in your jammies having a cup of coffee. We're a little jealous. But hey, we're excited for church today. I'm excited because we're seeing God move. I mean, last week was awesome. We started a brand new series called Psalm 23, as you saw on the intro video. And we're looking at this amazing chapter. But before I talk about that, I want to just make sure you know this. We would love to connect with you. This is not a Sunday thing. It's not just a Sunday experience. Active Church is a place to call home. And if this is a place where you're looking to get connected or just to partner with someone in prayer, we'd love to connect with you. You could go online at myactivechurch.org. Make sure you connect with us by clicking that connect card digitally. You can do it on your phone if you're here. You can even go to our connect center out front and connect with someone in a safe social distancing way. Can I get an amen? Well, hey, I'm excited. So I'm going to jump right in. Before I want to kind of tell you where we've been so that I can tell you where we're going. Is that cool? I believe you, all three of you. All right. So I typically do this once or twice a year. I'll take a section of scripture and we'll go verse by verse. Typically our series are kind of called topical series. I talked about this last week a little bit. Topical meaning we take a topic and then we just empty out all the Bible, what the Bible has to say about this topic. It's great. It's how Jesus did it. But every so often we like to do an expository teaching. Remember I taught you that word last week? Everyone say expository. Man, you sound like seminarians over here, all right? sound smart. You have to drop a Greek word or a Hebrew word in your sermon every once in a while to keep people on their toes. But I'm not going to do that today because I want today's message to be practical. How many of you guys know we have no shortage of information? We have a lot of shortage of application. And I want this sermon, I want this series to be like, I want you to know what the Bible says in Psalm 23, but man, do I want you to implement it into your life. Because how many of you know, life change happens when it goes from here and to your hands and to your feet. That's where life change happens. So if you're watching us online, take some notes, get out a pen and paper, or get out your notes in your iPhone app. Let's lean in today. Today, I'm going to take this passage, we're going to take one verse out of the passage, and I want to help you experience God's life-giving message from Psalm 23. So, when I'm looking at the Bible, I'm going to teach you kind of how I look at it, especially for an expository type message. I like to look at a couple things. Number one, I like to look at who wrote this thing. Like, you're saying, well, didn't God write the Bible? Yes and no. God inspired man to write the Bible, but God did not put pen to paper or tablets. He used men to write the scripture. He used mankind to write scripture. So he inspired it. And I want to show you kind of a couple things from this. We're going to look at the author. So who wrote it? David wrote Psalm 23. Who's David? David was a king, we know. David beat a giant named Goliath. Took him out with a stone and a slingshot. David was a bad dude. David wasn't just a shepherd boy that became king. He was a valiant warrior. He became one of the most amazing kings ever. He wasn't perfect. How many of you guys know God doesn't need perfect people? He just needs people that are willing to be used. And God used David in a mighty way. He actually wasn't just a warrior or a king. He actually was a poet and he wrote songs. David was an amazing songwriter. He was an amazing writer. And he wrote Psalm 23, not when he was a little guy, not when he was out watching sheep on a hillside somewhere. Most scholars believe that King David penned Psalm 23 in a season where everything was going wrong. Where, like, he couldn't fix the problem. In a season where he kind of lost control of the kingdom. Like, it was like he was the one that was the person called to make everything right. But in this season, most scholars believe it was the season that his own son was trying to take his kingdom away. It was family drama, save it for your mama type of situation. I wonder if anyone's experienced a little uncertainty in the season that we're in right now. I wonder if you've had a little bit of drama in your life. Maybe those watching on Facebook as you're thumbing through or skimming through your feed. I wonder if you've had any issues on Facebook lately, a little drama, a little uncertainty, a little bit of stress. And so this psalm was written during a season filled with anxiety and uncertainty. And I just know in a room like this, given the fact that we just went through a global pandemic or we're in one, given the fact that we are seriously uncertain about the landscape of our country, that there's things that were, some people are 100% this way and some people are 100% that way, and we feel kind of divided. But I wonder just maybe if today God, it wants you to lean in and look at this scripture that was written over 3,000 years ago. And I just wonder if God's Bible, the Holy Scriptures, have some application for us today. I think so. So do you guys want to lean into today and learn a little bit from Psalm 23? All right, you can talk back to me. It's okay. All right. At home, you can amen your screen, okay? Amen. All right, so today we're going to read this. The purpose of the psalm is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. It positions you to have strength in the midst of the struggle. This is what it does. The purpose of this psalm, it positions you to have strength in the midst of the struggle. How many of you guys know the struggle is real? I want to read a scripture. We're going to pray and we'll jump right in. Here's Psalm 23. We're going to read the whole thing together out loud. Can we read it out loud? Can you guys see on the screen? Let's put Psalm 23, 1 through 6. Can you guys see it up there? We're going to read it out loud together. Are you guys ready? Here we go. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Give someone a loud amen next to you. All right. You just read the whole thing. We've never done that here at Active Church. I was like, this is kind of going to be weird. You guys, we went there. Good job. Last week, we learned that David's declaration was for us too, that I have a shepherd. Like David, we can look around during crazy seasons and say, I have a shepherd. Hey, tech team, can you start the countdown timer or we'll be here till 1 o'clock? Okay. I love it. Awesome. Thank you, guys. The Lord is my shepherd. We learned that David had a personal relationship with God, Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And like David, we learned that you and I were designed for such a personal relationship, that your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your friends, those are great, and you feel so tight, but the same kind of closeness is available to you and I with God through Jesus. How many of you are thankful that God is a personal God? I'm thankful that he loves me and he's with me. And Christianity, by the way, it's not about rules. It's not about going to church. It's not about you giving money or, you know, sacrificing your time and, oh, I got to volunteer. He doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you. And it's really about a personal walk with Jesus. So now, if the Lord is your shepherd, here's what he's going to do in your life. This whole sermon is based off of verse 2. Psalm 23, verse 2 says this: He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, if I'm writing Psalm 23, which I didn't write the Bible, it would not be good, thank God. If I was writing the Bible and I was going to edit this, I'd say, hey, David, you kind of got it backwards, bro, because I would be like, no, first you do all the things and then you lay down, right? First you do all your checklists, you kind of have to, you take care of the sheep, you're going to do all your stuff, and then after that, the sheep will lay down at the end. And David's like, no, that's not how God works. And this is the title of my message. You can write this down, you could say it out loud if you're at home. Here's the title of my message, I want to give it to you right now. It starts with rest. It starts with rest. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, that it starts with rest. God, that the way that you want to give us to help us really survive and thrive in seasons of uncertainty and stress and struggle and unknown, the way that you want to help us this week, this very, very day, is by starting from a place of rest. I pray that you would speak through me now, God, and let this message land where it needs to land. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. A good shepherd knows when his sheep are tired. A good shepherd knows when his sheep are getting out of hand. A good shepherd doesn't ignore the sheep when they're hurting or they're tired or restless. A good shepherd knows that his sheep need to sleep, that they need to be protected. And I want to talk a little bit about rest this morning. So, if you're going to do anything significant with your life, I have to encourage you with this. Anything that's going to last will need to come out of a place of rest. You can make waves with a lot of energy. When I was growing up, we had a pool in the backyard, and thank you, Dad, for spending $35,000 on a pool that he said sometimes, you guys need to go swimming because I spent a lot of money on this pool, and I don't get it. Now I understand. That was crazy, and thank you, Dad. But I loved having a pool, but I remember when I was bored, I was just like, I got all this energy. I'm a little kid. I'd be like 10 years old. Me and my sister would get out. I'd be playing in the backyard in the pool, and I would get my boogie board. You know what I'm talking about? And I would just start making waves. Boom! The water splashing. My dad's like, the water's getting out of the pool everywhere. And he'd get mad at me. And I'd be so tired because I was making my own waves. I was creating a bunch of sloshed up water by exerting energy. And I just want to let you know, some of you are so driven to make a difference in this world. You don't realize it. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's success. Maybe it's some sort of, you attain some level of achievement. I'm here to tell you, whatever you're doing that's causing you, you're driven. With driven people, someone has to lose. People that are led, everybody wins. So this week, as you're thinking about your life, you're like, I'm so driven. I want to make a difference. I want to do. Listen, maybe, just maybe, God wants us to take you back to a place of rest so that you can get back in alignment with him this morning and begin to be led by his Spirit once again. It starts with rest. Look at your neighbor and say, it starts with rest. I've heard it said, we don't work for rest, we work from rest. Here's why it's important. Here's the big idea if you're taking notes. We make our worst decisions when we're tired. You don't even need to be a believer to amen that. You don't need the Holy Spirit to go, in your heart go, yep. You just go, yep, I make stupid decisions when I'm tired. I'm angry. I get hangry. Oh boy, if I'm hungry and tired, stuff comes out of my mouth. I'm like, am I a believer? Do I actually love Jesus? Or I'll think stuff that you're like, if there was a thought bubble over my head, you'd be like, fire this man. He is not worthy to be on that platform. You would never have sent that text. Remember that text you sent that one time? Everyone's like, what? How'd he know? No, remember that text you sent? Oh, you would never have sent that text if you weren't tired. You never would have said that thing to your spouse or your significant other if you weren't tired. You would never advise that. In premarital, you'd be like, and here's what you never do. But you did it. And then you said, I'm so sorry, babe. I was so tired. I'm so tired. You're well rested the next day. Hey, good morning. How you doing? I was so tired last night. I was praying for you this morning, actually. I'm giving marriage advice. I have no idea what that's like. Sorry. I'm a pastor. I'm a professional Christian. You guys, yeah, take notes, okay? I have it figured out. Where's my wife at? You would never have visited that website if you weren't tired, guys. Never. Truth. I just stepped on a bunch of toes. You would have never swiped right, ladies, if you weren't tired. I had to ask my friend, what does that even mean? I was like, is it right or left? He told me it's right. Okay. And for some reason in our culture today, am I right? We value busyness. Oh, how you doing? I'm busy, bro. So busy, man. Crushing it, but busy. How you doing, girl? Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, my, the kids, we're so busy. And here's what happened. If you're at home watching online, you're like, I'm so exhausted. I couldn't even make it to church. Listen, we're all here. You think about that, okay? Unless you're distancing and you're, you know, you're compromised, then, yeah, the Lord leads you. Grace. But we're always so busy. I had a friend in Las Vegas who he's like old school, like Pentecostal. Hey, brother, you know what busy means, right? Being under Satan's yoke. I was like, I don't think it means that, but that's really weird. But thank you for saying that. But it's kind of true, isn't it? Here's why. Because God, if God is a life-giving God, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and life to the fullest. John 10:10. Jesus said those words. If God's his underscore to salvation is life and life to the fullest. After you're saved, it's not just salvation, wait for my ticket to go to heaven and just sit on my hands for the rest of my life. If your life is marked by Jesus, then you'll have an overflowing presence of God's spirit and power in your life, and it'll infect others. It'll be like, dude, what's going on? Oh, man, God's doing this. Oh, man, I'm encouraging you. Oh, man, how you been? Let me pray for you. Listen, if that's God's M.O., then what's the enemy's M.O.? He wants to keep you so tired and busy that you forget that you don't work for rest, you work from rest. You forget that you don't battle for victory, you fight from victory. I'm going to preach that right there. You don't fight for victory, you fight from victory. That is the idea of Christianity. It's already been won for you. I got to hurry up. So, some of you are exhausted this morning. You are exhausted. Look to your neighbor and say, are you exhausted? Just lie to him and say, nope, feel good. You've had like 4 months of staying at home. You should be the most rested people on the planet. But isn't it weird? I've talked to so many people. How you doing? Oh, man, so tired. I thought it was going to be easy. I'm like, oh, man, we get some time off. It's going to be great, babe. Like, we're going to chill. We're going to do some work on the house. I am so, I worked harder in the last 3 months than I had. We had to figure out online church. We had to record videos. We had to do all these things. I had to, like, figure out how are we going to do this, working with the team. We're strategizing on Zoom. I am Zoomed out. I'm no longer a part of Zoom, only on Growth Track, only on Tuesdays, this coming Tuesday. That's the only time I love Zoom. Plug. Get plugged in to Growth Track. Ask somebody afterwards. You've had so much time to rest, but guess what you did? You got busy when you're supposed to be resting. I know there's a lot of things you could read into that, but listen, we've had so much time to take a break, so much time to focus on reading that book, starting that exercise program, starting to eat better, and guess what? We filled it with busyness, and instead of taking an opportunity during this lockdown, we actually kind of wasted it and saw that opportunity squandered. Now, listen, this verse, think about this. Man was created on the sixth day, and on the seventh day, God rested. So what does that mean? It tells me that in Genesis, the beginning, God created you and I. He saved the best for last, man. Someone say amen. Actually, he created women last, so ladies, can I get an amen? Guys are like, yeah, it's true. Best for last. But here's the reality. On the sixth day, man was created. On the seventh day, God rested. So that means man's first day on the planet with God was a day of. And so your life should start with. Your week should start with. You're getting the hang of it. All right. Now, you're exhausted with the news. Don't amen that. You're exhausted with Facebook and social media. You're exhausted probably with the hatred of people, with the ignorance of people. You're exhausted with the critical spirit that's all around us. And God has brought you here this morning to Active Church to say this, to hear this, that you have come into this world, that you have been born for such a time as this, that God didn't just call you to be saved. He called you to be set apart, and that we are called to not just enjoy this, or not just work our whole lives and work, that we've been called to a place we work from rest, not work for rest. Now, Christianity is not a bunch of do's. Christianity is spelled a big done. It's done for us. The hard work was done. What's our responsibility in that? Here's the million-dollar question I want to ask you this morning. How do we really experience rest? Psalm 23:2 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." How do you make a sheep lie down? Is it like, do you blow a dart in it? Do you like come up with chloroform and just like go to sleep? No, that'd be evil. Parents, I've known this. I'm a parent of two little kids, Hadley and Brixton. How many of you know the best time of night is when the kids go to sleep? Amen. If you're watching at home, amen. A little louder. Thank you, Jesus. You went to bed. Here's what I realized about being a parent. I can't make my kids sleep. I'm sure I've heard people giving their kids NyQuil. Not advised. But I can't make them go to bed. You know what I can do? I can provide an environment where it facilitates sleeping. What do? We turn off the TV. We turn the lights down. We read a story. Maybe they take a bath. We have a routine. We get them into a place where like, hey, we create an environment for rest. And your shepherd, a good shepherd of sheep, does the same thing. They create an environment for sheep to sleep. There's a book called by Philip Keller called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23, and he actually was a shepherd for many years before he was a pastor. And he gives us four things that sheep need. I want to give them to you real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. Sheep need these things to rest. They need fear removed. They need friction resolved. They need freedom from pests, and they need food in their stomach. So they need take away the fear, take away the friction, get rid of it, freedom from pests, and food in their stomach. So here's number one. I'm going to tell you guys how you can do this for your own life. This is application. All right? Number one, fear removed. Sheep have a lot to be afraid of. They got little arms. They don't box really well. They can butt your head a little. They can butt their head. They can't fight. Sheep are they're just wolf food. They're just like food. They're snacks. They're like beef jerky for wolves. I love beef jerky. They're like lamb jerky, okay? A sheep, listen to this. A sheep is constantly anxious. Why? Because they're scared, because everything that is around can kill them. And here's what they're doing at night with no shepherd. What was that? What was that? What was that noise? Some of you are waking up in the middle of the night and you're like, whoa. You're looking around. You're grabbing your phone. You're scared. You're anxious. You can't put the thing down. You're scrolling through the feed. Refresh Twitter. Refresh Instagram. Refresh Snap. Give me news. Give me content. And you're scared and you're anxious. And here's why. The only time that the sheep will fall asleep is when they can look and notice that the shepherd is near them. See, a sheep has confidence that while they're sleeping, there's somebody else watching over them to take care of whatever they need. Whoa. Whatever predators come their way, whatever animals come, the sheep's there to protect them. Huh. They rest not by looking at what can attack them. Rather, they fix their attention on the one that can protect them. So here's the question. Where's your focus? Like, where's your focus this week? Where's it been? Is it on the shepherd or on the attacks? Is it on the one that can protect you, or is it on all the things that could hurt you? We learn a lot from this today, and many of you guys have your eyes on the wrong thing. That's why David prays this. He goes, "I will lie down and sleep in peace." How many of you guys need some peace this week? For you alone, God, you make me dwell in safety. David knew that the one place that was safe was in the presence of the shepherd, that God is such a good shepherd that when you're in his presence, you're not simply living with your heads in the cloud and acting like everything's going to take care of itself. You still got to go to work. You still got to pay your bills. But I'm telling you, when you've done all you can do and you begin to worry, you're actually doing the opposite thing that God has called you to do. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and sound mind. And when you take your eyes off of the attacks and all the enemies and you put them on the shepherd, you will be able to find rest in the midst of anxiety. Can I get an amen? Fear, you can write this down, is simply the byproduct of misplaced focus. I could preach a whole sermon on that. Number two, friction resolves. In order for sheep to rest, the shepherd has to resolve friction. Sheep are social animals, and so are you. You're a social human being, I should say. You're not animals. I remember growing up, like in high school, always like drama. There's always drama. You always have that one friend that stirs up drama. They're like an instigator. Oh, did you hear? And then you get over there, like, can't wait for high school to be over. No more drama. False. Right? You're like, once I become an adult, all the drama goes away. No, it doesn't. And then you go, okay, once I become a Christian, and all the churches, man, Christians got it all figured out. No, we don't. We're just as bad. We just throw on, oh, pray for so-and-so. You got to pray for them. In Jesus' name? Yeah, pray. It's called gossip. Some of you on Facebook right now, you got some friction. And you've been unfriending people. Unfriend, unfriend, unfollow, unfollow, take a break, unfriend, unfollow. Delete from my Instagram, delete from my Snap. You're deleting people. Can I just say something real quick, too, about friction? There's this thing called cancel culture. Oh, man, I shouldn't go there. There's a thing called cancel culture. Can I tell you something? It's the most toxic thing that's happening to our country right now. If you don't agree with me or I don't agree with you, canceled. Can we just be honest real quick? Ma'am, can we just be honest real quick? That cancel culture has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? That it has no place in God's kingdom. I don't think Jesus would say, you know what? You don't agree with them? Cancel them. Yeah. Aren't you glad, Jesus, that when you were in your worst moment, aren't you glad that Jesus didn't cancel you, but instead in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for you in this while everyone canceled you? Christ died for you. I'm going to leave that right there. That's not in my notes. Maybe one point was. Sheep get into problems, and so do you. Sheep have drama. When sheep have drama with other sheep, it gets too much that they can't even, it starts interfering with their sleep. They cannot sleep when there's sheep drama. I didn't rhyme, but it's true, according to this book. I wonder if the rest that God wanted you to have this week, or the last 3 months for that matter, has been interrupted because of the drama that we're jumping into online. I wonder if that keyboard conversation that you've been having has actually done the opposite of help people find unity. I wonder if maybe, just maybe, that the reality for you and I this week is that maybe, just maybe, we need to back away from some of this friction and start allowing God to change people's heart and not sending people blogs and send people articles and trying to be the right police. Let's start being the church. Let's be a place, I think in this season, the church of God should be the most unified place people can go to. Yes, there's drama, and yes, there's politics, but can we just stand on God's word and say, we serve a God that's not of this kingdom. He's out of this world, and his kingdom will prevail in Jesus' name. I got so much to say in so little time. Man, canceled. Don't cancel people. We don't cancel people at Active Church. We believe in people. We don't cancel others. We pray for others. We don't cancel people. We're for people. Even if they don't agree with us, we are for people because that's a local church and that's what God died for. I'm so sick of it, but God is good. Amen? Man, here's the only time where the sheep stop with their drama. You want to know when it is? When the shepherd shows up. Staff in hand, because the sheep are going, if we don't act right, he will beat us. Corporal punishment works with sheep, apparently. I have kids. I leave them alone for 15 minutes. All of a sudden I hear, ah! He hit me! She bit me! It's like, what is going on upstairs? And here's what happens. I come down with the dad stare. What's the dad stare? Here's the dad stare. You got that slide, Katie? I, 33% of your job as a dad is staring at your kids like this till they act right. I just come in and I stare at them. That's all you got to do. You get that when you have kids. It just comes naturally. You thought your dad had it, you're better. It's actually generationally advanced. It's amazing. It's in the presence of the shepherd that brings peace. We can kind of start coming up, Ryan. We're going to close this thing down in a minute. It's in the presence of the shepherd that you and I find peace. We don't need a new political campaign. We don't need new policies. We need a good shepherd. And when he shows up, racism goes, hatred goes, bigotry goes, anger goes, and we find peace. Amen? I'll close with this. Number three, freedom from pests. You know, a good shepherd cares about the little things. We lived in Florida for about 6 months, and I don't mind like coyotes. I don't mind little animals, wild animals, even like larger animals. I'm not too scared of all that. I feel like, all right, if I'm in nature, we can figure this out. But you know what I hate? I hate bugs. I hate them. I have a puppy named Olive. She's awesome. She's a chocolate labradoodle. And come on, amen for puppies. Like, I like this church. He talks about puppies. No. We're pro puppy. I did not want to get a dog, but man, this dog has my heart, guys. She's so pretty and just so fun, and she bites the kids and they run away. It's hilarious. She's a puppy, a little puppy teeth. And I remember our backyard. If anyone knows like a really good like landscaper, hit me up, because I don't know what I'm doing. And we have to the backyard's a mess. We bought this house and we spent the first year working on the inside, and the outside's still kind of a mess. And we have all these little I don't know what you call them, these goat head type things. And she'll be, she'll come in, and I thought I got all of them, but she had one in her paw the other day, and I had to pull it out. And as a good puppy owner, you got to take care of the little things in your puppy, because that will cause damage. She'll start biting her hand, and you know, there's hidden small things in the sheep's life that only the shepherd can actually take care of. And the shepherd would go through the wool to make sure there's no bugs or no little things inside of the sheep's wool. It would take them out. And if it got really bad, a good shepherd would take oil and he would drench the sheep with his oil. And the oil is always representative of the Holy Spirit throughout the entire Bible. I just wonder, just maybe, I wonder this week, if there's some little pests bothering you, little things that no one sees, those little addictions, those little unconfessed things that nobody knows about, bad attitudes, those little snide remarks that we all make, and we go, forgive me, God, and it comes back, and I won't say that again, and we say it again. I wonder if there's some little things in in our life that we have to be able to come to the shepherd and say, this isn't going to feel good, but would you inspect me? Would you take a look, and do I have stuff in my life that is hurting me? You know, a sheep would actually fight the shepherd. It'd be so tired. It's like fighting a little one-year-old going to sleep. It'd be so tired that the sheep would fight the shepherd as he's trying to get these little bugs out. And the only time that the sheep could be healed was when they gave up and they surrendered to the shepherd and said, okay, fine. Inspect me. Pour oil on my head. And I just wonder, maybe this morning, man, Because it starts with rest. Then really what that means is it starts in the presence of God, that the Holy Spirit needs to saturate your life so that you can get rid of those pests that have been holding you back. You've been praying prayers and you've asked for help, and maybe you even told someone, you confessed a sin, but there's been some little sins in your life that you just keep going back to. And I just wonder if a moment with the anointing of God pouring over your life, letting the Spirit of God pour into you, that you might find rest. See, the good shepherd's not mad at you. He's not trying to hurt you. When you avoid those dark places in your heart, he's not saying, I'm mad at you, I want to get you right and spank you on the butt. No, he's saying, let me be a good shepherd and let me heal all those areas that are causing you pain. It's the little things, guys. Romans 8 declares this, so, and I want to, this is my prayer for you. That you are now controlled by the law of the Holy Spirit, who gives you life. Doesn't take life, he gives you life. The law of the Spirit frees you from the law of sin that brings death. God is not mad at you, he's for you. The shepherd is not mad, he wants to heal you. But the only way to find healing is in the presence of a good shepherd. And the only way to truly find freedom from your past is to allow the Spirit of God to begin flowing into your life, that grace would flow into your heart, that you'd begin to not just experience grace, but you would actually be a conduit of God's grace, that the Holy Spirit would flow in you so that it could flow through you. Am I speaking to anybody this morning? If you're online, this is your chance to start back to a place of rest. And finally, they need food in their stomach. I like to snack at night, so do sheep. They need to have a full belly before they go to bed. God wants to fill you up today. He wants you to be full on him. Jesus says, if anyone's thirsty, like, just come to me. I'll give him a drink. And the water I have, he tells the woman at the well, that if you drink this water, she's like, yeah. What kind of water is it? He goes, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. We're all like sheep, the Bible says. We're easily led astray. What if today God wants you to go back to him and rest in his presence, that he makes you lie down in green pastures. My pastor went to Israel last year and he showed me all this footage, and he sent me these text messages, and today it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Pastor Randy. I love you. He takes care of us. He's a good pastor. He loves me, my wife, and he shares his life with us. And he said, hey, Adam, I want you to see these pictures, and he sent me these photos. And I was looking for, like, green everywhere. And you want to know something? I did not see a bunch of green pastures in Israel. You know what I saw? A lot of dirt. Looked a little like my backyard. And I thought, what in the world? Here's what I realized about shepherds. The book says that a good shepherd works the land. That you can't just leave a field to itself. You got to work and till up the soil so you can create a right environment for the sheep. And I just wonder this morning, if you've been in the wrong environment, if God say, hey, come over here. There's plenty of green to lay down on. There's plenty of rest. Maybe you've been ignoring God's rest and you're working so hard. God's saying, hey, what if this week you didn't just work to rest? What if this week you started to work from rest? Let's pray.